It was the middle of the night, and Pastor Tim, he couldn't sleep. There are days where ministry is very discouraging. And so, in the middle of the night, he got up and he lit a candle. And he prayed for his church. I mean, not his church. You know it's Jesus' church all along. But there's a weight of shepherding and a sense of responsibility, a heaviness. Some days it's really hard. And you think, I mean, the gospel is so simple, isn't it? There's a God who created the world, who created people in his image and likeness, and he loves them desperately. And we rebel, and we turn away, we ignore, in doing so, we bring about our own destruction. We live in ways that make ourselves vulnerable to the consequences of our own sin. And God loved the world so much that he wouldn't let those he loved remain in that desperate place. But he sent his son to earth to live, to die, to rise again, so that all who call on him can experience forgiveness of their sin and have all the consequences of their sin paid for, wiped away by that sacrificial act on the cross, and can experience new life, the kind of life that changes us, not just in eternity and the life after death, but in the life here and now. In one sense, you think, that is just so simple. And yet, when you're trying to actually live that out in community, it's really hard. So as he thought around the church, it just seems like there's just pressures on every side, from the pressures outside the church, the culture that's trying to convince the church that it's irrelevant or unneeded, or even persecution in some places, to the challenges inside, the power struggles, all the brokenness that Jesus is still healing and yet gets expressed in the ways that people treat one another. Those that need to be encouraged. Those that need to be disciplined, and how it's so hard to sometimes know the difference between the two. And so if Pastor Tim was really being honest about where he was, you'd say some days he really wrestles with doubt. Sometimes doubt of his own call. And perhaps also doubt of his own competence and his ability to handle the stresses. And so, in the middle of that particular night, as the candle was lit, he turned to some familiar words from one of the few people that knew him really well. A man he would call his mentor, a man by the name of Paul. And so by candlelight, he read, as he flipped through some of the letters that his mentor had sent to him, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength," his mentor wrote, "that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." He thought about how in those conversations he'd had with Paul. How Paul is just so open with him about his background and about his own brokenness. It was one of the things that made it a safe place for Pastor Tim to talk about his own. He looked a little bit further down in the same letter. His mentor wrote to him, "Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and impurity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you." Pastor Tim needed to remind himself with those words. His job isn't to fix all the problems. Thankfully, that's the Spirit's work. But it is his job to teach and to keep pointing people back to Scripture, to that living Word that gives life. Reminded of the people throughout the years that had believed in him, that laid hands on him and committed him into ministry. He looked a little further on the same letter and he saw this note. He wondered what people, if anybody else would ever read these letters, what they would think of this. "Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses." His mentor cared about him so much he would give him unsolicited medical advice. Right there in the middle of the letter. As he kept reading, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." And Pastor Tim found comfort in that. He's neither the first to struggle nor the last with the challenges of living out an authentic faith. And he was grateful for a man in his life that knew him enough to speak into his life on that level. Today, I wanted to talk about a principle that that mentor, who we call the Apostle Paul, the man who wrote a significant portion of the New Testament. He wrote actually to the church that Timothy was pastoring, a church in Ephesus, a church that faced, like every church in history, many, many challenges. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I invite you to open them up to Ephesians chapter 4. This is a passage that's talking about what it means to mature in your faith. How many people want to mature in their faith? A little show of hands. Probably why you're here. You want to, you know, you want to become a wiser person over time. You want to live out a life of grace and kindness and wisdom in increasing ways. And so as part of this conversation about what it means to mature in your faith, Paul writes this to Tim's, Pastor Tim's church. And I think these principles are one that we can benefit from greatly today as well. I'm going to start with verse 11. "So Christ himself," there we go, "Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to what?" What's their job? Oh, I can't hear you. Come on. To equip who? For what? For works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Just stay on that screen for a second. So, there are leaders in the church. There are apostles, there's prophets, there's evangelists, there's pastors and teachers. And what's their job?
Equip.
To equip. Point to somebody whose job it is to equip. Okay? Okay, you might be pointing to some connection group leaders as well, right? Okay. So, who are they equipping? For what? For works of service. So point to someone who has a work of service to do. Point to someone. Now, just in case your pointer gets stuck. Gee, I hope somebody else would take care of that. Pastor, why aren't, whose job is it to do the equipping? Point to them. Point to them. Point to them. Whose job is it to do works of service? Point to them. Okay. And then when they all work together, really amazing things happen. So as people are equipped with God's word, people are equipped with healthy systems and structures together, amazing things happen as the body of Christ is built up. Next slide, please. Okay. Until we all reach unity in the faith. And how do we reach? How do we reach it? Does just one or two of us reach it? No. This is like getting the entire team across the finish line. Until we all. So sometimes that might even cause us to think about, so what do we do with those that are struggling the most? We help them. Because if it only happens when it happens to all of us matter. So we reach out to those on the margins. We reach out to those who are hurting. We reach out to those who struggle the most. When the body is healthy. When we're all doing what God has called all of us to do. And then the knowledge of the Son of God, and they become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceptive scheming. I heard that discipleship doesn't matter. God wants you to be happy. So do whatever makes you feel good. Wow, that's fantastic. I had no idea. It was so easy. There's a secret. And if you just pray a secret prayer, you can make God do what you want. That is so fantastic. I never heard about this. All this time I was thinking I was supposed to do what God wants. But it turns out it works for me. I have no idea. So we don't get pulled away by these lies, and now I'm joking and being very obviously, well, actually finger in cheek. That's just gross. Okay, sorry. But the thing is, you hear those kind of teachings all the time. We all do. And they sound really good. Because it's a whole lot easier than having to like serve and care for other people and connect with other Christians and care about the downtrodden, because that's really inconvenient sometimes. Most of the time. And then we get to kind of our central verse for the day, chapter 15. Instead, speaking the truth in what?
Love.
Oh, let's try that again. The truth in what?
Love.
We will what?
Grow.
You want to grow? Here, the Bible's telling us this is how we grow. When we speak the truth in love to one another, we grow and become in every respect the mature body all together. Of him who is the head, that is Christ. I'm going to read one more verse and we'll come back to this idea. Because from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each what? As each part does its what? Work. The only way we grow is we grow together. Now this is going to seem very countercultural. It's really difficult for us to swallow sometimes. You need other Christians in your life. You just plain do. Show me the Christian in isolation and I'll show you an immature Christian. That doesn't mean you can't have a walk with Jesus, just you and Jesus on a desert island. But it does mean that you're not going to grow. Because that's how you grow. We grow together. We need other people. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. Now, if you didn't know that person, they were a person of the opposite sex. That was really creepy. So don't do everything your pastor tells you to do, but do a few of the things that your pastor tells you to do, okay? Yeah, okay. Well, this is just an introduction, and we had a wedding yesterday. We might have some more. You're welcome. Okay, good things can happen. But I want to get us down to this one big idea. One big idea just to wrestle with, roll it around in our heads a little bit, and just see how it applies to our life. Here's the idea. Now, it says to speak the truth in, what's that word?
Love.
Love. Now, it's in love. Now, it's not truth and then love. Like, you are bad at this and this and this and this, and you annoy me when you do this, this, and this, but I care for you. And now you should smarten up by doing this, 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 and this. Right? No, the environment is one of love. So I want to teach you a little formula, just because it's simple enough that I can remember it, so I'm hoping it's helpful for you. Love plus truth equals growth. Say that with me. Love plus truth equals growth. Next slide, please, just so we can really lay this out so it's just I can get it this way. Love plus truth equals growth. When we have an environment of love, a place where we feel like the people around us care for us, where there's encouragement. I've been challenging us as a church. Be an encourager. When somebody comes to mind, pray for them and let them know. Who here has too much encouragement in their life? Too many people believe in me. Everybody's telling me how much they care about me, and it's annoying. Knock it off. Okay. So for the rest of us, that actually, at times, we feel a bit of a void of encouragement. You can be the kind of friend you wish you had by being a person that grows in the ministry of encouragement. When we demonstrate love to one another, like you've heard that old saying, I think it was a Roosevelt saying, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. That's kind of the same thing. That love plus truth equals growth. When there's an environment of love, there can be words of truth spoken. And we need words of truth spoken, because the problem is none of us can see ourselves clearly. I mean, even when we have a feedback mechanism like looking in the mirror, we still don't see every part of who we are. Can you scratch the center of your back? I mean, there are things you just cannot see about yourself. And so we need other people in our lives to help us see ourselves more clearly. That's annoying. And it's hard. And sometimes it hurts. But, when there is an environment where words of truth can be spoken, we can grow. So I want you to think about, who's somebody in your life that speaks truth to you like this? Do you have someone in mind? Not asking you to share it out loud, but roll that around. Chances are that person, a person that you already know they love you, they already know that they've got your best interest in mind, they're rooting for you, they're on your team. When they say something to you, a word of rebuke or correction, or, hey, I've kind of noticed that. If you want to grow, you listen to them. And if you don't have anybody in your life like that, or the moment that somebody comes and says something that doesn't immediately agree with every wonderful thought you have about yourself, you dump them. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to that. You need other Christians in your life. Now, we needs to be environments of love. So think about what it is, if you've got somebody in your life that has the capacity to speak those words of truth to you, truth genuinely spoken in love, what is it about that person that makes you receptive to what they have to say?
Love.
Can you be that kind of person to somebody else? Because chances are, it's because they found ways for care to get through. Ways that you know that they genuinely care about you. That when they speak something that might be a little more hard to hear, it's because they love you and they want you to thrive, and not because they hate you and want you to fail. Do you have somebody in your life like that? Do you lean into environments like that? I'll throw a couple of challenges out there. If you really want to grow, and there's somebody in your life that you know, you really kind of trust their opinion, I dare you, double dog dare you. Ask them. What are the areas that you see? What are the areas where you see me growing? Where are some areas where you most hope for me to grow? Now, some of you are going to, this is about the point that you tune out the preacher. You're like, get to the song, get to the communion. We're going to head out of here as quick as we can. But I promise you, love plus truth equals growth. You want to grow? Hard part is you're going to have to find environments. You're going to have to find some environments where somebody can speak truth into your life in a loving way. You're going to have to build the kinds of relationships where words of truth can be spoken kindly. Now, I used this illustration once before, so I won't spend much time with it, but people are a little bit like plants. We need love all the time, like a plant needs sunlight all the time. And if truth is water, you need sunlight and water to grow. You need sunlight all the time, you need water some of the time. You know, if you've got a burning on your heart and you're kind of angry with somebody, that might not be the way to speak that word of truth. You know, that might make you feel a whole lot better. Aren't I glad I got that off my chest? But that's not a word spoken in love. Probably not. Even if it's true, it's probably not a word spoken in love. So we got to be really careful to not abuse this verse and use it as, well, I'm just speaking the truth of love, you dimwit. You know, like, it's not, if you're coming in with the wrong attitude, we've forgotten the first part of it. Can you go back one slide, please? Love comes first. Love comes first. Love comes first. It's the environments of love. So is it the right time? Do I have the right attitude on my heart? Are they open to this? Do I have reason to believe that the person I feel I need to say this to has some evidence that I care for them, that I genuinely care for them? We can speak God's truth to one another. Now, lest we think that these kind of ideas, you go, oh, that's so nice, what a wonderful little Bible verse, it's so good for church world, and it is so good, maybe for my relationships, maybe for my marriage, but, you know, it's not really for the workplace. I want to take a little side bar here. Patrick Lencioni, he's a consultant for major Fortune 500 companies. He talks about the five dysfunctions of a team. The number one dysfunction is it has to do with an absence of trust. When your work team, maybe even think about your work environment here for a second. When a work team doesn't trust each other, when there isn't mutual respect for one another, you don't actually engage on the issues because you're just kind of having to be really careful about everybody else's feelings. You know, so you don't really you can't speak truth because there's no trust. You want to have a good work environment. You build environments. You may not call it love. You may not send them flowers. But you look to build environments of mutual respect, of mutual trust. And as those environments are built, you can have honest dialogue. Jack Welch, he was the CEO of General Electric for many years. In his book, Winning, his big, thick book about leadership, the very core of it is on the concept of candor and the importance of candor in organizations. That's honesty, which is speaking the truth in love. One of the great things about God's word is it's true, and it's true even for people that don't even believe in it. It's still true. I'm not sure that Jack Welch is a believer at all, but he's writing a whole lot about this biblical concept. When we have environments of trust and respect, we can speak words of truth. And when you speak words of truth, People grow, organizations grow, your company accomplishes its mission. Your organization accomplishes its mission. Or as the Bible puts it, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Love plus truth equals growth. Who are people that will speak love into your life? Who are the people that have your back? Lean into those relationships. Who are people that speak truth to you? Listen to them. And can you be the kind of person who speaks loving truth into the lives of others? Pay attention to the things that give others, if they have it, where others have earned the right to speak into your life, and learn from that. Be the kind of friend to somebody around you that you wish you had. Starts with encouragement. Next slide, please. Challenge you to take somebody out for a meal. Now, because it's often around tables that we learn one another's story. When you know where somebody's coming from, it increases your compassion. It increases your ability to speak well, to speak kindly. And of course, I encourage you to be praying for who are people that you can invite. One of the greatest forms of care for somebody you love is care for their soul. And if they're not yet a part of a church community somewhere, would you pray for them to find a home? Would you pray that they might find a home? If they don't have a home somewhere else, that might find a home with us. Don't steal from another church. Sheep swapping does never, ever moves the kingdom of God forward. But the majority of people in the Wenatchee Valley don't have a church home, so you don't need to look very far. Be the kind of friend who cares about the inner life, the emotional and spiritual health of the people around you. Be that encourager. Listen to those words of truth. And know that God loves you desperately. He's got amazing plans for your life. And that's why he allows truth into your life, even though it sometimes hurts a little bit. Because he's not done with you yet. He's building you up. He's readying you for the tasks that he has for you, because you, Ephesians 2:10, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You are a piece of work. You're a piece of God's good work. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word that leads us and guides us and helps us to see the world more clearly and see ourselves more clearly. God, we thank you that you often provide for us relationships in our life where words of truth can be spoken in the context of love. Oh God, help us individually and especially corporately. God, may this be a place where love is shared and spoken freely. Lord, may we increasingly be people of encouragement. Be people who believe in and invest in others. Oh God, rid us of the kind of self-centered thinking that cares only about our own problems and our own challenges. But God, break our hearts for the hurts and the needs of others. Especially, God, for those whose greatest need is simply to begin a relationship with you. Right now, God, we want to thank you for some of the people in our lives that speak truth to us, that help us to see aspects of our own life and personality that we can't see on our own. And friends, if you've got somebody like that in your life, just under your breath, maybe just lift up that first name, just so you're just giving thanks to God for that person. And Lord, Lord, may we learn from their lives that we might be people who earn the right out of lives of love to speak words of truth to one another. And God, bless us as we grow together, as we each do our part. And God, may amazing things happen as your church mobilizes around the mission you've given us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray together.